Welcome to Christ in All Things, a conversation about meaning and purpose.
It's based on a verse from the Bible, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, which says, Christ is before all things, and in him all things hold together.
Christ in All Things is a listening ear into conversations about receiving and giving the love and hope of Christ.
And these conversations are an invitation, because as you'll hear, as much as we enjoy having them, digital media operates from a distance, and that's not what's best for us, with God or with one another.
So, thanks for listening. And if you're in the neighborhood, we invite you to participate in person in the life that finds its epicenter at St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. Welcome to Christ in All Things. I am Pastor Lance O'Donnell.
I'm Pastor Jason Schockman. With us are two special guests. One is Dale Stradel. And Dale, we had you on Christ in All Things before, so welcome back. Our second guest is John Nelson. John, you haven't been on Christ in All Things before, so we're really excited to have you as a first-time guest and look forward to hearing from you possibly again in the future. I may have designs on that.
Yes. So we're here to, as a follow-up, to the episode with the first of three episodes with Dr. Nathan Metter. And that first one is the overall series is called Reflecting Christ. And it's about stewardship, but the first episode is Reflecting Christ, stewardship as identity. And what Pastor Schockman and I asked Dale and John to do was to listen to that episode before it was published so that we could, the four of us, have a conversation and reflect on what we were taught there and kind of some key things that came up.
So we could reflect on reflecting Christ.
Indeed.
As stewardship with a part of, as a part of our identity. Yeah. So, John, Dale, the question that we want to talk about is what stuck out? Like, as you listened to that episode, what were things that were either new as ideas or were reinforced as ideas that maybe had fresh language to it, right? What stuck out at you? Dale, you want to go first?
Certainly. Thank you for inviting me back. It's a pleasure being here. One of the first things that stuck out for me was done wrong, you're an idolater. So if you don't get stewardship right, there's a price.
Ooh. So just for the sake of our listeners here, idolatry is having any other God before the God that created you in your life. Now Luther would say, whatever you put your hope or trust in, that is your God. So when we talk about doing stewardship wrong, you become an idolater. Does that mean money becomes our God?
Well, if something other than the God that is our God,
then yeah.
Anything you put in front, you can become your own God.
And that's poor stewardship, right? And part of what I think comes out of that conversation or that comment of done wrong, it's idolatry, is stewardship isn't just about money.
And I want to interject here before we get too far into the conversation. If you're listening to this and you didn't listen to the previous episode, mark where you are. Go back and listen to the first one with Dr. Metter, Reflecting Christ, Stewardship as Identity, and then come back, because then you as a listener will have a flavor for what we're talking
for
about.
For where this conversation comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, John, how about you?
Yeah, no, I appreciate Dale's comment on that. That was definitely one that also stuck out to me. There was a few, but the steward as a manager of the created order, as a reflection of the creator, just the simple fact of that we have been commanded and have the responsibility to do that puts a whole different, and it really goes to the point that you're making before. Stewardship isn't about money. I mean, there is a money component to it, but at the basis, and I think this is what Dr. Metter was driving at as well, was that it's not think money first, think manager first, think managing creation first, and all of the things that are part of that. And it's not managing just the things that happen at church, to the detriment of what is going on in your own household, there certainly are huge responsibilities, and that's part of the stewardship as well. You have a stewardship responsibility to your, you know, like Dr. Metter said, putting braces on the kids, sending them to school, paying tuition, you know, all the things that do that, so that they grow up in the fear and trust, you know, love of God, and that, and this process continues, right? So we grow the kingdom by doing, getting stewardship right on a lot of levels, not just money, which I think, which kind of was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Pastor O'Donnell, you had a verse in mind that you wanted to bring up pretty early in this episode.
And that's, this is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and beginning here at verse 16. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world. The Greek there is cosmos. It means everything that was created to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. It, my reflection back, and I'm eager to talk more about it because I know you guys have a pile of stuff you want to talk. The fundamental thing is we have a stewardship of the gospel, right? We've been, the Lord has entrusted us, and that's the center, right? The message of God's free and full forgiveness in Christ, that we hear it, that our children hear it, that our neighbors hear it. That's the organizing center. That's fundamentally what's do, you know. And I, when I heard Dr. Metter when we did this interview, yeah,
right,
yeah. And you know, we tend to think what's in my pocket, you know, how I'm gonna, you know, all right, how am I gonna do this? I don't know how to give. I mean, that's a whole, you know, that we'll have that conversation. But fundamentally, God has entrusted to his church this message of forgiveness in Christ. And that's what our lives revolve around. You know, that's a worship thing and all kinds of other stuff. So you guys have other stuff besides that stuck out to you. And I'm curious to hear what those things were.
I'm gonna throw it back to John. Dale went first. So while on number two, John, what else stuck out at you?
Yeah, I mean, it continues on the same theme that Pastor was going with on this too. Jesus portrayed the perfect steward when he lived on, when he was here with us on earth. And it's like, well, yeah, we've been taught through our entire lives that, you know, try to, you know, work towards understanding that we can't ever fully achieve, but we should live our lives like Jesus lived his life. Well, this just adds that whole other component of, well, he was the perfect, he emulated the perfect steward while he was here. And one of the things that was in the episode that I found that was just kind of blew my mind as well. And since he was the creator, creation responded to him and essentially bowed down. He's walking on water. He's raising people from the dead. I mean, it's like, yeah, who is here? It's fantastic, right?
Dale, before we came on air, we were kind of talking about that very thing and how the aha moment.
So the aha moment came after that.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear that with Jesus put back into creation. Jesus walks on water. And Jesus calms the wind, which calms the waves. And we see that dominion over his creation. The aha moment comes when we talk about he's living out what Adam was supposed to.
Yeah.
When Adam was put in the garden and creation started, that was his dominion. That's how Adam could have gone forward. But they chose sin instead.
Would have gone forward, right? I mean, yeah. He work the garden and keep it. These are his tasks. I don't think there was, I mean, work, yeah, but work wasn't like, it's the ground, the trees were there and they gave you fruit.
It wasn't yet toil.
No.
Right.
It was labor, until sin but it came. Wasn't.
Yep. Yeah, it wasn't the J-O-B you regret going to.
It wasn't a drudgery.
Exactly.
Right? It was a joy. to do that managing, to work it and to keep it. And that's what Adam was supposed to do. Right? Didn't take him long to mess that up. Who knows how long it actually was. But from there, how does that then settle into our life as stewards? Or what impact does that aha have on our life as stewards?
That begins the reciprocal relationship you see with God. What he gives us, he constantly gives us love. He gives us forgiveness. He gives us, you know, great gifts. And we're supposed to just give that back to him and overflow, give to our neighbor. And that's that reciprocal relationship that grows out of stewardship, that you want to share. You want to give back because you see how blessed you are in what's been given to you. And you're just managing it to grow it and give it.
Yeah, and I think that's a perfect thing. It's more of a response than a requirement, right?
Yeah, it's a thanksgiving.
Exactly. Yeah. What's my response? What's my thanksgiving going to be to this great gift that we've been given? And, well, let's be a good manager and respond as such. So I think that's a great point, Dale.
And the gift is everything. Primarily, the gift of forgiveness and life and salvation that we have in Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. right? And you hear us at St. Paul's talk about that on Sunday morning, right before the offering is collected. If dear listener, you're here some Sunday morning or Saturday night, you know, at the epicenter of our life together, which is, you know, 210 Pleasant East Pleasant Street.
In the divine service.
In the divine service. And if I'm the one announcing the offering, I'm always going to say the same thing, right? We return to the Lord that which he has entrusted to us in response to the gift of forgiveness in Christ. And I wonder sometimes if I should, like, stop saying that just to see if people catch on that I stopped. Because I wonder sometimes in my own sinful flesh, like, is it worth it? Do people actually listen to that statement? Is anybody paying attention?
Of course they do.
Well, yeah. Right. Yeah. So like we, at least for the 4 years I've been here, every week that I'm the liturgist, I'm teaching that as we're beginning to collect the offering. You say something similar, but shorter.
Yeah, what we should do is switch it.
Yeah.
I do yours and you do
mine. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. That'll get people's attention. Yeah,
exactly.
We'll have to pull the trigger on that this weekend.
So what else did you guys have on your list? I'm curious.
The big ending, the cliffhanger to go into the second session was that stewardship is now for reconciliation. It's the delivery of the gospel. That's our main takeaway of what stewardship should be. And
what does that mean, Dale?
Exactly. Those gifts, we are now delivering the gospel to our family, our friends, our neighbors. We are living out what's been given to us and what we understand with that relationship from God, that forgiveness, that love is given out.
It's a sharing. It's a managing of all of life and life's resources as we share this life together.
And so, John, you know, the last one you said, you talked about, you know, Jesus as the perfect steward, but I know you had at least one other thing on your list. I'm curious what you have there.
Yeah, it's maybe taking a step back a little bit because this was earlier in the episode one. I thought it was really interesting when Pastor Metter brought up the Abad and Shamar as the two, the work and defend, work and defend, and went through the, you know, the, we don't really think about it that way, right? We don't really think about the defend, you know, work, okay, we all get that, right? But defend.
Keep.
Keep, defend, you know, keep is another whole piece where it's like, well, yeah, of course, you're going to defend your family, you're going to do these pieces, but I think there's also the defending your church, defending, you know, defending what we try to do around here. Make sure that, you know, if there's a way to step in and to, you know, to what Dale was saying before, what are, you know, how do we live that out? Well, how do we get involved in, you know, again, it's not just money. It's what do we bring to the making sure that the gospel message is put into, you know, not only the members of this church, but into our community. I think there's that whole work and defend can be taken. If I may,
I'd immediately think of, Pastor Shackman and I talk about this periodically with people. One of the ways we defend, and uphold the church, one of the most encouraging things in the world for us as pastors is when somebody who is really physically troubled finds a way to get their butt there for church. Some old lady,
yep.
That has had both of her knees replaced and, arthritis and whatever. And until she can't,
right.
She's there. And pastor, I'm going to come up. You want to use the elevator? No, I'm coming upstairs.
Yep. Yeah.
So help me God, I'm going to kneel for communion.
Right.
No, really, it's okay. You can just stand.
What you said, John, made me think. So often we hear from those who are elderly as I can't do this or I can't do that.
Right.
There's so many things that maybe they did before that they can't do, but while they're still able to do that, that's an enormous the effort that some people make to be gathered with others in worship.
Right.
Is enormously beneficial for the body of Christ and an absolutely fantastic witness.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
As we walk, our friends and neighbors walk around the lake and maybe not think about what's going on, there's some guy that's struggling, but he's getting it. This is important.
Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that up. And there's so many different things that you can look at. What do we try to defend as, living the godly life or doing the things, and you just go, well, okay, just start naming off the things that are super important to live a God, marriage, defend marriage. I mean, we do the marriage retreat and, in a counseling app, there's ways that we defend things and, work to help people through the things that are taking them into the idolatry, into the sinful way with the stewardship piece that I think that was just one of the things that was like, yeah, there's some really great things that can be worked on with that whole defend, work and defend. It's not just work. It's
work and keep,
focusing that into the, mm-hmm. into the keep.
I'd like to take back the rainbow. Yeah. That's exactly. When we need to defend a little bit more.
There we go.
As a symbol of God's grace, God's grace to the world.
Yeah,
not of libertinism, yeah. but mm-hmm. of God's grace.
A symbol of His promise.
Yeah,
right. That
a reminder to Himself.
Yeah,
to never flood this world again.
Yeah. This is a little off tangent, but when you string a bow,
that is what a tangent is.
I know. When you string a bow and pull it back, right, the bow in your hand curves. And it always curves in the same direction when you pull that string back. Now think about a rainbow. Which direction, if that bow is strung and pulled, which direction is the arrow pointing?
Away from us.
It's away from us.
To the heavens.
It's pointing at the heavens, mm-hmm. right? It's God putting a sign in the sky that the earth itself is defended from annihilation by water again.
There we go. Yeah.
It's a reminder to Him, right? Which in turn is also a great promise for us, looking forward to His provision, that all things will be made new eventually. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly.
So one of the reasons we asked you to be here is because you're involved at St. Paul's in different ways. Dale, you're just in the beginning stages of teaching a Christian stewardship class at St. Paul's. John, you're the first vice president. You're helping us to manage some business stuff and a number of challenging things including how to, better manage our endowments and business practices.
In the same breath, Dale behind the scenes has quietly been helping with missions and getting things organized. As we pursue a regimented, outreach and evangelism effort, not just across the world, but also here. And, you know, John on the quiet was an elder before he did any of those other things you mentioned. And
before
so,
we roped him into the leadership,
the board of directors.
And that, but in every one of those situations, you're working and keeping the congregation, right? Whether it's in spiritual care as an elder and the care of us as pastors and the congregation as a whole, or helping behind the scenes to coordinate how we talk about our outreach and our mission. You guys have been a part of that. So part of that is why we invite you to be a part of this conversation. And then to hear how you reacted to what you heard. So was there something in that episode that made you really like scratch your head and go, I've never heard that before?
Or was there something that just really stuck out and you would be remiss if you didn't say it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think just like I mentioned before, I think Jesus is the perfect steward. That it made logical sense. It was like, well, of course, right? But but it wasn't like it hasn't been presented to me in that way, or at least I wasn't paying attention if it was. But it's so obvious that it's like, well, yeah, of course it is. And now that'll be what I think about now every time when you're going through and reading. Either listening through the Gospels or reading through the Gospels.
And I'm going to tap into something else you said while we weren't on air. What did Jesus regularly make it a habit of doing as the perfect steward? He regularly made a habit of spending time with his Father in prayer.
Prayer.
Mm. Right? Of having that communication with the Lord. And John, we were talking earlier about how important it is, and you're finding it so important to make a commitment to a regular Bible study that you know you're going to do,
yep.
Whether it's Sunday morning, and how easy that is on Sunday morning to either show up an hour early or stay an hour late after church,
yep.
To be a part of the Sunday morning Bible study. And there you are, stewarding God's word the way that Jesus did.
With right. Your family.
Yep. With your family. What a gift.
Yep.
Right? What a joy.
Yep.
Dale?
I'd like, going back to basics,
yeah.
Just taking the money component out of stewardship, that mm-hmm. Your mind doesn't go there first. Your mind should go towards God and that relationship instead of just how deep do I have to dig in my pocket this week? What are they looking for? Mm-hmm. Change that mindset on how blessed you are, what's been given to you, and how you can return that.
That you're a beloved child of God. Yeah,
I'm a beloved child of God, and that changes.
I am baptized into
and
Christ.
That changes the way I approach that loving Father, who loves to give to his children.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus talks about, your Father loves you, and you who are evil know how to give good things to your children. You know, your kids aren't going to ask you for a cup of milk, and you're going to give them a snake.
Right,
right,
right.
Yeah,
right. Just and if you can do that, if you're that good, imagine how much greater the Father has joy in giving you His Spirit, giving you Himself.
I'm hopeful as we talk about this. I'm very hopeful because we've got a growing group of active teenagers and 20-somethings. I'm hoping that they'll listen to this. And because I'm very hopeful about this group of young people and their commitment to what we're about here. The commitment to the gospel and singing the gospel well, and preaching it well and teaching it well
in Bible study.
And being in study and being merciful as mm-hmm. as God has been merciful to us. I'm excited for this stage in the life of this parish, for this teaching to come from Dr. Metter and the kind of renewed emphasis, but the basis of it so that you have a group of teens and 20s and people in their early 30s that are going to learn about this. Like stewardship is your identity. It's not, because I was taught well when I came into the church in my early 20s about first fruits giving, and it was enormously, enormously helpful. And wow, was that eye-opening to me when I was first taught this. Maybe we'll talk about that another time. But for a group of younger people, teens in their 20s right now, to have it started this way is, I think, going to be of, if the ears will hear, it will be of, I think, potentially stunning, enormous long-term benefit for our parish and the church.
Yeah, I was going to use the word, it's going to be a generational impact.
Yeah, paradigm shift. I mean, yeah. I agree with you completely. If we do it well, we're committed to doing it well. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, we really appreciate you guys coming. After, you know, this episode pairs with episode one, you know, of Dr. Metters, and is published in September of 2025. In October of 2025, we'll have part two of Dr. Metters, and then in a conversation with a couple other folks in the St. Paul's leadership and reflection. And that's what we'll do for each of these three. And we pray for you, the listeners, that this is a blessing. And again, as Pastor Shachman said earlier, if you're around, right, the digital conversation is great, and we hope it's beneficial to you, but the real deal is in person. And so come and see us. Thanks for joining us on Christ in All Things. For show notes and other information about Christ in All Things, visit ChristInAllThings.org. Comments may be emailed to comments@ChristInAllThings.org.
We're thankful to provide Christ in All Things to you as a gift.
But it's not free to produce and distribute.
So, if you'd like to help make the show self-supporting and have a little fun in the process, please click the support page at ChristInAllThings.org.
A donation of any kind gets you a righteous,
environmentally friendly Christ in All Things straw.
For the useful, but perhaps pretentious, beverage container that so many of us like to use.
A donation of $200 or more will get you some cheerful on-air clapping. And a pair of excellent Wisconsin-made wigwam hiking socks.
A donation of $1,000 or more gets you thunderous on-air clapping. And an elegant Christ in All Things leather folio, handmade by the artisans of the Murdy Creative Company.
If you want to donate more than that, fly us wherever you want, and we'll record Christ in All Things with you at your chosen location, within reason, of course.
All post-production surplus supports youth ministry at St. Paul's. Thank you for your support.
Christ in All Things is a production of St. Paul's Lutheran Church, 210 East Pleasant Street in Oconomowoc, Wisconsin. For more information about St. Paul's, visit splco.org, email us at info@splco.org, or call us at 262-567-5001. Intro and outro music, setting by Joseph Hurl. Copyright 1998, Concordia Publishing House, used with permission.